Well, this is it. This is the last day of 2014. Wow. It's amazing. You know, when you're a little kid, they just kind of creep by. And then, you know, somewhere along the way, they start walking and then running and then flying. So that kind of lets you know where you are in life, how fast the year seemed to be going. It lets you know. Tonight, I just, my heart, I feel like, number one, that we need to be prepared for this new year. And also, along with that, let me just say this. You know, Sunday morning, this past Sunday morning, I felt like the message was in part is to prepare us for this year for great things. And so this message is just kind of a follow-up to that to get us ready. We're going to pray. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father. It's always just what we need. I pray, Father, for your help tonight, Lord. Lord, as always, I can do nothing apart from you. And so, Father, ask for your help to speak your word. And ask, Father, for your help for us to receive from your word. Lord, help us to have ears to hear, eyes to see. Lord, a heart that understands. And I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Can you hear me all right? All right. I pastored a church one time. A gentleman would sit at the very back of the auditorium. And he would say, "Brother Hill, we can't hear you. Turn it up." One guy was really hard of hearing, had been for many years, and he finally went to the doctor and he got some hearing aids, and they worked great. He goes back to the doctor after a month for a checkup, and the doctor said, "Well, your family must be thrilled that you can hear again." He said, "Oh, I haven't told them." He said, "I've changed my will 3 times this month." Isn't it amazing that the Lord hears everything we say? Now, I don't know about you, but if I could just hear everything 1,000 people say, it would drive me insane. But the Lord hears everything that we say. That's both for good and for bad, amen? Whether you want him to hear or not, he hears. And yet his will for us, he doesn't change his will. His will is still good. His perfect will doesn't change. It's always good. But that doesn't mean that his will is automatic in your life. If his will was automatic, Jesus would not have taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I realize that in a lot of religious circles, that's just been relegated to so much flowery, pretty ritual that you just say those words. They don't really mean anything. Jesus wasn't giving us a ritual. He was giving us a powerful way to pray. And he said, you pray like this: "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And I'm just telling you that the sovereign Lord of all the universe has chosen to operate this way, that he will use his power and step into our world and into our lives when we pray. Prayer is one of the keys that virtually all other blessings hinge on. We have not because we ask not. The promises of God are received by faith. And listen, that faith is most often expressed in prayer. If you believe, you'll pray. I know there are some people who want to justify their lack of prayer by acting like the promises are just automatic. Listen, let me just give you one example. I could give you hundreds. Just one example. He is our provider. And he has promised to take care of our physical needs, that we do not need to worry about our physical needs. And yet, in the what we call the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, pray this way. Give us this day our daily bread. You're supposed to ask. Why? Because the things that are automatic, we tend to take for granted. Let me just give you an example. How many of you thank the Lord for the sun coming up this morning? I know a few did because I saw a beautiful picture posted on Facebook this morning. But not many of us thank the Lord for the sun coming up because it's automatic. He does it every single day. And I'm just telling you that God wants us to look to Him and to believe Him and to trust Him. And He wants to have a relationship with us. And I'm telling you, the promises of God are not automatic. You got to pray. You got to ask. Jesus said to ask and you'll receive. Now notice this. He didn't say, hey, you're going to receive anyway, so don't bother. No, He said, ask and you will receive. It's important that we pray and ask. Mark 11:24, Jesus said, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And there it is again. He says, here's the key. You want to have them? You want to receive them, those promises, whatever it is that you are believing God for? You got to ask and you got to believe. That's how you receive. Prayer is how we receive forgiveness. It's through the confession of our sin, and we ask for God's forgiveness. It's amazing to me how messed up some believers get in their doctrine and how deceived they get and how the enemy gets them so off track. We had a woman call the church one day, and I don't know why she called, because she wasn't really wanting any help. She wanted to try to convince us. And she was telling us that you don't have to ask forgiveness for your sins. It's automatic. I said, well, ma'am, you're just deleting about 50 very obvious verses in the New Testament alone that say you should ask for. How about this one? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's what Jesus taught us to pray. Again, in the Lord's Prayer, He says you should pray like this. Forgive us our debts. You're supposed to ask for forgiveness. I'm just telling you, this prayer is how our burdens are lifted. It's how we cast our care on Him. Prayer is how we know Him more intimately. Prayer is how we ask for wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Prayer's how we get God's guidance and direction in our life. You know, many times the Lord speaks to us through His Word. Now, sometimes it's through the written Word as you are reading and studying the Word of God, or maybe you're remembering a word that you've heard or that you've studied. It's a word that's in your heart, and it comes up out of your heart, and God speaks to you through that word. And many times God will speak to you through a word that a preacher is sharing or some other brother or sister in the Lord. But the Word of God will speak to you. But it's also very powerful that Jesus says His sheep know His voice, and He speaks to us in the time of prayer. Some of you may be uncomfortable with that, but let me just tell you that God will speak to you in your heart. There's a knowing, and you, something on the inside, not a voice in your head, but something deep down that you know that God has spoken to you. And so often, He does that in prayer. Prayer is so powerful because it is the key that brings the power of the Almighty into our world and into our lives. Listen, prayer is one of the most important keys to our victory in battle. Anybody got any battles? Well, if you don't, just give it a little while. Anybody expecting battles this year? I hope that you're expecting battles. Now, that's not being negative. I know that battles are coming. And you know what? If you're unprepared for a battle, it's way worse than if you're prepared for battle. In fact, if you're prepared for battle, you can win. If you're unprepared, well, I'm not going to say you can't win, but let's just say it's all uphill. It's tough when you get blindsided and you're not ready. And you know, there's a whole lot of believers living in fairy tale land. Of course, they usually end up saying, why did God do this to me, when the enemy just absolutely blindsided them? So we got to be ready for battle. And I'm telling you tonight, here is a great key to victory in battle. It's prayer. When Jesus is talking about building his church, if you have your Bibles, you might turn over to this in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. We're going to look there. We're also going to look at a couple of verses in chapter 16 first, though. Chapter 16, we're going to read verses 18 and 19. And Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now let's take these in context. You'll notice verse 19 begins with the word and. By the way, when Jesus was talking, he didn't say verse 19. In fact, when the scriptures were written in the Greek text, there's no chapters and verses. Those were added much later for our ease of study. But you need to understand, this is all talking about the same thing when he says, the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against my church, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He's talking about the church. He's talking about that the gates of hell will not be able to hold us back. Why? Because we have the authority to be able to bind and loose in this world. He's talking about a key. What a powerful key. He says the keys of the kingdom. And I'm telling you, here's one of the keys of the kingdom is the power of prayer that we have, that we put to so little use, relatively speaking. The key. Here's the keys. You ever had your parents say that to you? Here's the keys. You ever said that to your kids? Here's the keys. You know, when a parent gives the keys, the car keys, to a teenager, people automatically start praying more, right? When a parent gives the keys to a teenager, here's what they're doing. They're saying, you have the authority to use my car. That's what they're doing. They're handing them the keys, unless they're playing some kind of game. I mean, come on, they're handing them the keys. They're saying, you now have the authority to use my car. Now, notice this. This is where a lot of believers get real goofy. Well, I can just bind and loose anything I want. Says whatever. Who are the Cowboys playing next? Anybody know? Detroit Lions. We bind them with Detroit Lions in the name of Jesus. We bind you up. You're not going to do anything against Tony Romo and all. It was intentional. Listen, I'm just telling you, believers get real silly when they start talking about authority. You see, he gave you authority. Just like you hand the keys to a teenager and you let them use the car. But I hope you don't hand the keys to the teenager and say, yeah, just go out there and do whatever you want. You can go over and race on that service road to 35, you know. In fact, tonight's New Year's Eve. Well, if you want to have a few and then go drive, that'd be all right with me. No, when you hand the keys to the teenager, you give them authority to use the car, but there's some rules that go along with that, isn't there? And I want to tell you something. Jesus gave us the keys of the kingdom, but that doesn't mean you're supposed to be silly with it. No, we still have to pray according to the will of God. 1 John says, if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us and we have received the petitions that we've asked of him. But God's not going to violate his will just because you say, well, I bind and I loose. You bind and you loose according to the will of God, according to the word of God. But here's what I want to get at, though. You see, here's the bigger problem, is that most of us don't use the keys. I mean, there's some people that try to use them wrong. But there's a whole lot of people that just don't even use the keys. You need to understand, Jesus has handed you the keys. You hand the keys to the teenager and they say, thank you, and they're going, right? Why doesn't the church say, thank you, we're going to use this power of prayer that we have? What an awesome thing. I thought it was so awesome. When I got my first car, I was 15. Bought it myself. They didn't hand me their keys. They said, get your own. I got my own. And once I could drive, I didn't care about ever getting another day older. That was all I needed in the whole world, was to be able to drive. But I'm telling you, the blessing we have as the people of God to be able to pray and to bind and loose in this world, the gates of hell can't even stop us because we have this key of the kingdom to be able to bind and loose in the name of Jesus. Two chapters later, he says this. It's Matthew 18, 18 through 20. He says, assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And I want you to understand, I realize that in the context of this passage, he was talking about people who are in sin and people not doing right. And he says, whatever you bind is going to be bound. But the principle is still true. And here he is saying the exact same thing he did in Matthew chapter 16 when he was talking about the church. The principle here, in fact, you're going to see it as we read on in these verses. He says, whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose. And now listen, verse 19, again I say to you. So what he's about to say to us, he's already said. Right? He says, again I say to you. Now, he's not going to say it the exact same way, but he's saying the same thing. And he goes on, he says, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them of my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. And there it is, that power of prayer. And especially the power of agreement, that when two of us come together in agreement, he says it'll be done for us of our Father in heaven. Wow, such power, such authority, tremendous power that's available to God's people that we have at our disposal if we would just use this mighty weapon of prayer. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. See, our weapons, they're not carnal things. Our weapons are mighty in God. How do you get God to step in? Prayer. Prayer moves the hand that rules the world. Prayer is most often the key to winning our battles. I told you Sunday morning when Joshua lost a battle at Ai, he went back to God and he prayed and he found out what was wrong and he fixed it. And then they easily won the battle. You need to realize that prayer is the key to winning your battles. You're going to have battles this year. I don't know what kind. They come in all shapes and sizes. Sometimes you get hit on every front at once. But let me tell you what the key is. Prayer is the key. And it's always better to pray ahead of time. Joshua went to God and prayed after, and the Lord told him what was wrong, and they fixed it. But how much better it is for you to pray before the battle starts. If you think that this year will be free from battles for you. Let me tell you, your adversary is not going to leave you alone. He didn't leave Jesus alone. He didn't leave Paul alone. He didn't leave Peter alone. And he's not going to leave you alone unless he likes what you're doing. You need to know how to fight when you get in a battle. If you don't know anything else about fighting a battle, well, remember this. The battle is not really yours, it's really the Lord's. And this is how you get God to step in the battle, is you ask, you pray. You fight those battles in prayer. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6 and read. Well, we'll start with 10 through 13. Ephesians chapter 6. We talked about this passage of Scripture briefly a few months ago. We had a real brief series on spiritual warfare. But I want to read it tonight. Just feel like we need this. Finally, my brethren, beginning from verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. See, I don't want anybody to get discouraged tonight. I don't want you to get the wrong idea. This is a message about victory. This isn't a message about, oh, poor us, we're going to have battles. You're going to have the battles. I'm telling you, this is the key to winning those battles. He says, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. When will we learn that our real battle is a spiritual battle, and it's got to be won in prayer? See, if we just spent half the time praying that we spend in conflict with flesh and blood, we'd see 100 times the results. Now, I don't know if y'all remember, if you were here the night when I talked about the little battle that I was having with AT&T over being tax exempt and how I was kind of, you know, stressing about that and just I wanted to go find somebody to express my aggravation to. But I got a prayer warrior in my corner. And Carmen was praying about that situation. I was too. My prayer was real complicated. I was like, God help me. And I had been calling, you know, and couldn't ever get a hold of the right person and on and on and on, all this stuff. And it was about our tax exemption as a church. And finally, this guy calls me, and his name was Mark. That was good. And he started saying, yeah, you got to have this, and you got to have that, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, you know, you're talking about federal taxes, and we're only exempt from these state taxes, right? And he said, yeah, that's right. He said, well hang on a minute. Let me see. He comes back on the phone about 3 or 4 minutes later, and he says, you were right, and I was wrong. And I said, I have never heard those words before. I actually said that to him. I've never heard those words before. I didn't just mean from AT&T. I meant from anybody. I've never heard those words before. You were right, and I was wrong. I'd like go home and write that in my diary. And I'm just telling you, it was a miracle. You were right, and I was wrong. We're done. It's all good. I'm just telling you, the battles that you face, you need to realize that your real battle is not with flesh and blood or AT&T. Your real battle is a spiritual battle. And the battles, you see, that's just a little skirmish, isn't it? That's not really a battle. But I'm telling you, we all have battles. And those battles, you need to realize the real answer is prayer. That's the real key. Those of you that don't know, well, I'm a lawyer's son. And it's not very spiritual. and I don't really do it much, but man, can I argue. You have no idea. A preacher who was raised in a lawyer's house, and you want to argue the scripture with me? I won't do it, but I can. And sometimes, you know, I get that mentality, like, you know, dealing with some situation like the AT&T thing. I think I'll straighten them out. You just, nuh-uh. I'm just telling you how much better it is when we just pray and we let God. I'm not saying we don't do anything, but I'm saying we realize that our real battle is in prayer. It's not with flesh and blood. Our real battle is with spiritual wickedness in high places. There are powers and forces that are working against you. And whether it's your finances, your health, the unity of your family, how God uses you in ministry, whatever it is, I'm telling you, there are forces that are working against you. You know, you talk about ministry. I've seen this so often in ministry where people think that the reason that they're not being able to be used of God mightily is because of other people. It's flesh and blood. No, it's not. It's the powers of darkness. I want to tell you, God can open a door for you. No man can close. But see, we always get hung up on this flesh and blood when really our real battle is a spiritual battle. And the key to winning those spiritual battles, listen, I'm not saying that prayer is the only thing, but I'm telling you, this is one of the most important keys that you have. It is the power, the awesome power of prayer that's available to us. Verse 13, he says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day when the battle comes, and having done all, to stand. Next, he tells us how important the armor of God is. And I'm just going to read it tonight. I'm not going to talk about each part of the armor, but I do want to read through it. He says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, I know some of you thought that this service was going till after 12 tonight, and if we go through each part of the armor, it would take that long, so I'm not going to do it tonight. But I want to get somewhere. I want to get to verse 18. Here it is. He says, praying always. Now you notice in the structure of the way this is worded, again, there's no stop here, and now we're going to talk about something different. He's talking about the armor of God and standing against all the wiles of the devil, and then he says, praying always. And I just got to tell you, it doesn't matter if you say, well, I got the armor on, but you're not praying. You're just playing. You know, like a kid putting on a Halloween suit. You're just pretending. Because if you're not praying, you're not fighting. You're not standing against the wiles of the devil. You got to pray always. Playing dress up. If you're not praying, you're just playing dress up. No, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance. That means you don't stop. And supplication for all the saints. You're not just praying for you. You know, for me and my four no more. No, you're praying for all the saints. You're interceding for other people. Why? Because this is how the battle's won. This is how we attack the gates of hell and crash those gates. They can't prevail against us. If we pray, remember Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And then he goes right on talking about, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind will be bound, whatever you loose will be loosed. Oh, what power we have in prayer. Prayer is how we get the strength to fight. It's how we get that. Remember, he said, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Well, let me tell you, if you don't pray, you're not strong. It's they that wait upon the Lord that shall renew their strength. In Exodus chapter 17, it tells us about Joshua and the Israelites being at war with Amalek. And Joshua and the Israelites are down in the valley with the sword, and they're just going at it and going at it. Moses is up on the hill, up on the mountain, with his hands raised. And he's praying. And as long as his hands are lifted in prayer, Joshua and the children of Israel win. If his hands go down, then they start to lose. Some of you don't believe in that raising the hand thing. Well, read the Bible. He's raising his hands to God. As long as he's raising his hands in prayer, they're winning. Now, both are important. It was important for Moses to be praying, obviously. It's also important for Joshua and the children of Israel to be in the valley fighting the battle, doing what they're supposed to be doing. Both are important. But which one's more important? Listen, prayer needs to be the priority in your life, because your battle is not with flesh and blood. You certainly need to obey the Lord in the natural things, but don't ever do anything without prayer. We can't even live a Christian life without prayer, much less stand against all the wiles of the devil. One person put it this way: prayerlessness is the umbrella sin under which all my other sins stay dry and cozy. And if you haven't thought of prayer as being a sin, you need to change your attitude. Because to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We're supposed to pray. It's really difficult to continue in some sin when you talk to God about it on a regular basis. I didn't say he couldn't do it. I said it's difficult. You don't usually fall into a deception when you're walking and talking with the Lord. You know, we all face that temptation to do things in our own strength. But why should we give in to that temptation when there's a better way? You pray first, then you work. You pray first, then you serve. You pray first, then you preach. You pray first, then you make a decision. See, prayer doesn't just give us the energy, the strength to fight. Prayer is what gives us the information that we need in the fight. Prayer is how we hear from our commander in chief. Are you with me? Listen, you got to have good communication with the commander in chief. You know, in a football game, the coach isn't actually in the game, but he's important, don't you think? I mean, you know, nowadays we got all these superstar athletes. It's like, oh, who needs a coach? Believe me, without the coach, the whole thing would just fall apart. They need a coach. And the coach is the one that so often he's one of the coaches is sending in those plays and giving them instructions. And without that, there's confusion and chaos. And I'm telling you that for the church and for us as individuals, if we don't have any communication with the coach, we're in a mess. In fact, you just talk about military action. Did you know in the military, communication is so important? In fact, if we can destroy the communication of our enemies where they can't communicate with each other, it makes it easy to defeat them. You got to have good communication with the Lord. We need to pray before our feet hit the floor. Recognize the one who's given us another day. As we begin that day, don't just rush past him into the day. The more you've got to do, well, that's just the more that you need to pray that day. But as your prayer life goes, so goes your Christian life. Leonard Ravenhill, this old-time preacher, teacher, author, one that I have been ministered to by, really speaks to me. He writes in his great book, Why Revival Tarries, he says, no man is greater than his prayer life. If we're not praying, we're playing. The people who are not praying are straying. We have many organizers, but few agonizers. Many players and payers, few prayers. Man-singers, few clingers. Lots of pastors, few wrestlers. Many fears, few tears. Much fashion, little passion. Many interferers, few intercessors. Many riders, but few fighters. Failing here, we fail everywhere. We need to pray, church. Oh, how we need to make prayer a priority in our life. Realize it's the key to winning your battles. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean that all day long you're walking around praying and, you know, praying out loud while you're at work and while you're trying to teach class at the school. Or listen, what it means is that from the time you get up in the morning till the time you go to bed at night, the communication lines are open. That throughout your day, at every opportunity, you are talking to the Lord, and that you're always have an ear sensitive to His voice to listen to Him, praying without ceasing, without stopping, every chance you get. R.A. Torrey said, we are too busy. If we're too busy to pray, then we're too busy to have power. Wow. As always, Jesus is our example in prayer. Think about this. He prayed and fasted for 40 days before He began His ministry. Wow. Then there were times when He prayed all night, like when He chose the 12. You ever had to make a big decision and you struggle with that? Did you ever pray all night over it? Now imagine this. Jesus is the Son of God. Remember what Peter said to Him when Jesus was saying, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. And yet Jesus prayed all night before He chose the 12. He prayed when there were great needs with the people He ministered to. And He prayed in the greatest battle in history, in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's where the battle was fought, church. When He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, that was the battle of the ages. And He won it in prayer. What He did later on the cross was the fruit of that prayer when He said, not my will, but your will be done. I'm telling you, the battle was won in prayer. Where do you think your battle will be won? In prayer. You know, in that same time in the Garden of Gethsemane, He tells the disciples that prayer will prepare them for their battle that's coming. And it's Matthew 26:41. He says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now listen, if we don't pray, then we're a setup in the battle. You got to pray. Understand this principle, that prayer will prepare you. See, He said, pray lest you enter into temptation. Our battle is won in prayer. Prayer is how you bring about change. It's how you bring about change in your workplace, in your family, even in the church. That's how change happens. And so I want to challenge you tonight, if you haven't already made prayer part of your goal or your desires and direction of your life this year, I just want to challenge you to do that, to make prayer a part of your daily routine, that every day you're going to find time, you're going to make time, you're going to be sure there's time for prayer. We shouldn't just pray when we have a crisis, but we need to be prayed up and ready. Sometime you might encounter one of those, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting, and you want to be ready. I want to tell you this tonight. Everybody needs prayer. We need to pray for one another. You know, when Paul says this, when he's talking about prayer, he says, for all the saints, all kinds of prayers for all the saints. We need to be praying for each other. See, we're so prone to talk about others and to say, oh, you know, this person or that person, they're not doing right, or, you know, they're out of church. Listen, we need to be praying for them. Realize that there is a spiritual battle that needs to be won in prayer. I know there's a spiritual battle right now while I'm preaching this message. Listen, I can tell you one of the toughest battles that I fight is the battle I fight every time I preach. I heard Ken say, yeah. He knows what I'm talking about. It's a battle. I know some people think you just get up and talk. I'm just telling you, if we're really preaching the word, letting God use us, there's a battle that takes place. And church, we need it. Well, I don't feel too bad about that, because Paul says in verse 19, he says, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now here he is in chains, an ambassador in chains. Who could have been as bold as the Apostle Paul? And yet he's asking for prayer so that he'll be bold to speak it as he ought to. And I'm just telling you, everybody needs prayer. The backslider needs prayer. The one that's lukewarm needs prayer. Listen, the worship team, they need prayer. You ask any pastor of any Spirit-filled church and they will tell you the worship team is always the first place that gets attacked. Now in this church, we have a great worship team and we don't have a bunch of junk and a bunch of silly stuff going on our worship team. Don't take that for granted. You pray for those people and intercede for those people, because I can assure you, the one who used to lead the worship of heaven hates them. Pray for them and pray for the leadership of the church. Pray for the leadership of our nation. Oh, if we spent half as much time, a fourth, a tenth as much time praying as we do complaining. God answers prayer. I want to give you one more example of how prayer can make a difference for somebody else. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus was also denied. And he told Simon Peter that he would deny him. But listen to what he says in Luke 22, 31 and 32. He says, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Satan wanted to sift him as wheat. He's one of the 12. Satan wants to destroy him. And I'm telling you, there are brothers and sisters in Christ, people that you know. We see it all the time, church. What happened to this person and that person? And, oh, well, you know. Yeah, let me tell you what the real deal is. It's a spiritual battle. And they're losing the battle. They need somebody to fight for them. Satan wants to sift them as wheat. Jesus says, but I have prayed for you. Prayer makes the difference in the battle. It's the key. So make a fresh start with your prayer life. Make up your mind more than ever before that you're not going to miss an opportunity to pray. Make it part of your daily routine. Love that. The secret of your success is hidden in your daily routine. I'm telling you, the secret of you winning your battles, it's hidden in your daily routine of prayer. I'm not talking about just being a ritual, some weird thing. You know, you're just going through the motions. But I'm talking about a good kind of habit that you don't do without this. Amen? Listen, see, some of you got some good habits. You know, you bathe regularly, you brush your teeth, you know, fix your hair. Those are all good habits. We're glad that you do those good habits. But I'm telling you, this habit ought to be the most important habit in your life, that you pray. It's the key to to winning your battles this year. So if you're awake at 12 o'clock tonight, pray in the new year. But not just tonight. Make it a habit every day that you're praying for people. Those battles, those things that come against you, those difficulties, realize the power that you have to bind, to loose, to bring the will of God into this earth and into your situation. Amen. To strengthen your brothers and sisters in the inner man through prayer. Stand with me. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for the great privilege of prayer. Oh, Father, how overwhelming to realize the power that is available to us. Forgive us, Lord, for doubt and unbelief, Lord. Lord, for taking it lightly. Lord, for not really understanding just what you have handed to us in this powerful key. Lord, I pray that tonight that faith would just rise in our hearts through the hearing of the Word of God. Lord, that we will pray in faith, believing we receive. And Father, I pray that we'd be so stirred by the Word tonight, Lord, that every one of us, every person in this building, Lord, can't help but make prayer a priority in their life. Lord, we're going to pray for one another. We're going to pray for one another. We're not going to watch one more brother or sister just fade away, drop out. Lord, we're going to pray for one another in the name of Jesus. Help us to do it, Lord. Help us to do it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. Here's the key. Pray. Pray. Amen. I love you. I hope that you have a fantastic new year. Amen. Lord bless you. Don't forget to pray for others when you pray, all right? Amen. Bless somebody as you go, would you?